601, your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler, Brad Barnes, Brad Thompson, Chris Ranji, Randy Carricker. And we have, with all due respect, coming up in just a moment, you can send your text into the Hot Shots text line at 65780. Before we get to it, though, James Holzhauer made 33 appearances on Jeopardy and racked up $2.4 million in earnings. As great as that sounds, we know reality isn't all that sweet. All winnings on game shows are considered ordinary income and are taxed up to 37% by the IRS. And of course, the show was filmed in California, where Holzhauer has to pay a state income tax as well. After all taxes are paid, Holzhauer will walk away with $1.29 million, a 47.6% cut of his original winnings. Yeah.
It's good.
Still pretty good. Yeah, I mean, it was an epic run, though, and you kind of thought that he would end up taking a home a little bit more than that. But you know that Uncle Sam's going to get his. It's just how it goes.
Gentlemen, two giraffes living at a Florida wildlife park were fatally struck by lightning during a severe thunderstorm. The Lion Country Safari in South Florida said it was deeply saddened by the sudden deaths of Lily and Gianni, who died during a recent severe thunderstorm. With all due respect, as terrible as that is, at least they weren't being pulled along in a trailer and hit a bridge.
Oh, I saw a documentary about that,
Randy. I did, too.
There was a guy that was trying to transport one.
Yeah, he bought it.
Was he coming back from
picking
Vegas?
It up? Yeah, he bought it with his dad's money.
That's right. Yeah. And then he forgot how high the overpass was.
And how high the giraffes were.
Well, yeah, and really sad documentary.
Yeah, it was.
R.I.P. Harambe, by the way, not related, but you know how that goes.
Yeah. Are you guys talking about The Hangover, too?
It was something like that, some documentary.
Yeah, because the overpass was hanging over, and that's
then
what
the
giraffes hit.
Ended up being, too.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
Yeah.
Was that a movie?
So anyway,
that was a movie.
Thoughts and prayers to the Lion Country Safari in South Florida.
Yeah, that sucks.
And they say lightning never strikes twice. Well, evidently.
Did it strike twice, or were they next to each other? And
that
then
could have been. It could have just got both of them with one. Killed two giraffes with one strike.
That's what they say. Wow. That old gym.
Wow.
All right, so I'm sure I know you guys because we talked about it. Randy, I know your disdain for the NFL. Did you ever watch Hard Knocks? Did you ever get into that?
Now and then.
Yeah, I love it. Like, I just enjoy it. And I find myself, like, whoever the team is, I feel like I'm kind of, like, into it a little bit because you're behind the scenes. Well, hell, boys, it ain't going to get much better than this year because it's the Oakland Raiders.
Oh, it'll be awesome.
/ Vegas Raiders here soon. With all due respect, even if you hate the NFL, if you like to be entertained, I got a feeling that Gruden and Antonio Brown and maybe Richie Incognito and them boys, they can entertain you a tiny bit.
I would say so.
I feel like there was no possibility, if given the opportunity, John Gruden would say no to this. I know the league can force teams if they want to.
He might have volunteered.
I would absolutely believe that.
I hope we get to see a lot of Mark Davis's haircut, too.
Oh, I bet we will. Yeah. Maybe we'll get an opportunity to see as he goes to his haircut guy, and we'll see, like, the bowl they put on him and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do way behind-the-scenes stuff.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
And doesn't he have a Woody?
A what?
Yes,
yeah,
he
the van.
Yeah.
The Woody van.
All right.
Yep.
He does, right?
Yeah, it's really
so
exciting.
Yeah.
By the way, I would think that one of the high-profile guys, Khalil Mack, would be a huge part of this.
Hmm. Randy?
Yeah?
You know, it's very difficult to find a pass rusher.
Especially in Oakland.
Damn near
because
impossible.
Because he's not there anymore.
Yeah, he's gone.
Oh,
yeah, he's gone.
Sorry.
Yeah. It's impossible to find those guys.
Can they bring back Marshawn Lynch for this?
They should.
Oh, he should have his own.
Can he please be here and be a part of this?
He's got like a web show, right?
I don't know.
I think he's got a web show, or he did.
Was it
he
Taste the Rainbow or something?
I don't remember.
He loves Skittles.
He needs to have his own program on television. So we have been talking over the last week about Stanley Cup ratings and how well St. Louis is doing against the other markets in the country in terms of watching the Cup. They have dominated pretty much everybody else. Boston coming in second. Dan Caesar of the Post pointing out 33% of homes in the market with a TV tuned into Channel 5 for the telecast on Sunday night. With all due respect, I know that's not right. This is only a baseball town.
With all due respect.
With all due respect. Can't be right. I'm told this is only a baseball city.
You know those numbers are skewed. Yeah. You know that, Rod.
Take into account households with two TVs.
Mm-hmm. Big Sis, what do you got for us?
So we've talked a lot about what will happen when and if the Blues win the Stanley Cup. With all due respect, what happens downtown if they lose tomorrow?
Be devastating.
Yeah, not much. I don't think that if the question is, do we think that there will be like angry destruction? I don't feel like that. No, I feel like it'll just be more so head down and then reflection for a couple of days and a little bit of sadness. As it should be if, in fact, you lose a game seven.
I don't think this is a... This isn't a riot kind of city, is it, if a sports team wins? Not that. Hold on. No. When something serious happens, I could see it. But when a sports team wins, this isn't Vancouver.
Yeah, but we just don't know. Like, we don't know 50 years, right? Like, you don't know how. And we do know Blues fans are very passionate.
Yes, we do.
So, and when you say that, I'm thinking at least a car or two flipped over if you win.
I don't think so.
Well, I'm just saying, if you drive a Prius, move it. Move it. Or if you got a smart car, you might want to move that thing.
This just doesn't strike me.
Oh, sorry.
It doesn't strike me as one of the kinds of, one of the towns that would win or lose. Because I know Vancouver did it when they lost, right? They trashed the town. I don't think that happens over a sports team.
Hey, do you guys, when you see a smart car, do you just wonder how many friends it would take to flip it over?
Uh-huh.
All the time.
Yeah. And it's like, everybody in our room could do it. Us five.
I think so.
Big Sis with Brad and Chris and Randy and Mike Ryder, we could do it.
Tell you what, I can go flip over a bunch of those Lime bikes, though.
Take that.
Wait, are they gone? They're out of town,
aren't
they?
Yes, they're gone. Scooters.
There's some in the scooters. There's some in the water, aren't there?
Yeah, you can still find them if the GPS is still working.
That was awesome. Oh, the nearest Lime bike is right in the Mississippi. Okay. Gonna be tough to get.
By the way, the top 10 gifts dads won for Father's Day. Number one, a phone call from the kids. Number two is a big juicy steak. I'd make that number one.
Well, the kids are gonna be around, right?
Yeah,
Randy,
right.
That's why.
I don't need a phone call.
Yeah.
We are told that via text that Fish is in town tomorrow night.
It's true.
So
what
the
kind?
Hippies
like
no the band.
Swordfish. Oh.
PHISH.
Oh.
So the hippies will balance out any angry Blues fans.
Nice, I like it.
I guess that's true. Going to be a lot of Volkswagen vans in town tomorrow.
Where are
tomorrow.
They appearing? At Padgett?
Chaffetz.
Oh, okay, good.
With all due respect to the Cardinals, the Busch Stadium watch party feels particularly late.
Well, it was
it starts at the same time, 7 o'clock.
It was due to how quick the other one sold out. They stepped up is what they did. It's not late. It's helping out.
Necessary.
And by the way, proceeds go to charity, which you got to love.
Mm-hmm.
So, splitting it between Cardinals Care and Blues for Kids. So, got to love that.
And also, they were worried about staffing because of that Fish concert, because of Enterprise, because of, they have to have police work the event, too. So, I don't think they knew they were going to be able to get the kind of help they needed, and they ended up getting it.
With all due respect to chili and cinnamon rolls, you should try chili and Reese's peanut butter cups.
That just sounds weird.
I don't know.
Well,
me, was that your text?
It was not me, I promise.
I don't know.
It's a 573.
I love chili. Like, I really, really enjoy chili. And for me, the spicier the better. I just like a nice, spicy chili. And I love peanut butter cups. I can't even think of those two things together. I can see the cinnamon roll way before I could see the Reese's peanut butter cup.
Well, chocolate is an ingredient of chili sometimes, right?
I think it can be.
I think Steak and Shake, that's what they put in it. So maybe in...
Way to give away the secret.
Well, I thought that was fairly common knowledge. But anyway, I don't think
cinnamon
there's
can be as well.
Yeah, cinnamon can too. So
in doses.
In doses. Small.
Don't put too much cinnamon in the chili.
Small doses.
It's happened before. I know a guy.
Randy, do you remember this? Somebody's texting in saying people were flipping over cars on the landing in 1987 when the Cardinals clinched the division. Is that true?
I don't recall that. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I don't recall it.
I mean, I would have been really young, but I don't remember us doing anything like that.
I don't either. That was the shutout by Danny Cox.
And with all due respect, those who are selling watch party tickets on the secondary market above face value are bad people.
Well, they're all bots, so, but run by bad people. I agree.
Yeah, I feel like everybody should be able to watch that thing at the same price. That feels good.
Yeah.
That feels better. That was the intention.
Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line 65780. Up next, we're continuing our Dad's Week celebration with our friend Jay Delsing. Jay's dad was a member of the 1949 and 50 Yankees, and we're going to talk about that next on 101 ESPN. Brad Thompson, Chris Ronji, Randy Carricker, and we head now to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line and our friend Jay Delsing, who is the host of Golf with Jay Delsing Saturday mornings here on Sunday mornings, I'm sorry, here on 101 ESPN, and you can learn more at jaydelsinggolf.com. Jay, it's always great to have you with us, and happy Father's Day week to you. How you doing?
Let's go Blues!
Yeah, there we go.
Randy. Let's go Blues, man. Come on, one more game.
What do you think?
Oh, trying not to, brother. All over the place. So just trying not to. This team has been so unpredictable and so fun to watch. I have suffered like you all have for so long, and they have been so exciting. I'm just hoping to have one more rabbit up in their hat.
Jay, how do you take your mind off it? Is it golfing at Pebble Beach?
It is. I get to leave on Thursday, boys. Oh, I get to go to Pebble Beach on Thursday. So, yeah.
Oh, that doesn't sound that rough. It's going to be okay. But you could celebrate it over there at Pebble. So, Jay, as you know, we're having a lot of fun with Dad's Week, and we're hearing a lot of stories. And certainly, I mean, your father, he was part of an unbelievable Yankee squad in 49. I want to know for you, and it doesn't have to be golf specifically that your dad got you into, but just sports in general. Did your love for sports come from your father?
It really did. I mean, Brad, I really appreciate you just bringing it up. And, you know, my dad's been gone now for almost 15 years. I miss him every day. And this week, you know, listening to 101, and it's just been hard. I've been thinking about him more. And you know what? My dad grew up in a generation that is so gone, you know, where he didn't really talk about anything mechanical to me. He didn't. It was just really about just go out and play. You know, just look at the ball and hit the ball. Just look at where you want the ball to go and throw it there and run the bases and quit being so slow and things like that. And I'll never forget you guys. I started playing golf and just really because I was a sports junkie and I needed more than you know, just one practice of baseball and then one game a week. And my dad said something to me that I didn't understand until I was like in my 30s. But he said, son, I don't understand why you can crack your hips when you swing a golf club, but you can't when you swing a baseball bat. And I was like, can you give me some more information here? And he was like, he just walked away. Like, okay, I'll just chew on that for a while. And then, you know, maybe 20 years later, I'll try to figure it out. But, I it was one of those things where it was like, yeah, that's up to you to figure that out or something. I don't know.
So, I mean, he kind of just lets you do your own thing. He wasn't necessarily steering you away from what you ended up doing for your life.
Oh, no, Ron, you know, so we grew up in North County, and we didn't have a lot of money, a little bitty house. I'm the fourth of five, and the way that this thing rolled at our house, it was a great way to grow up. But the way it rolled, my three older sisters traveled with my dad with baseball and my mom and dad and everything, and it's really cool. And when my dad retired, my mom took a job and was a career woman, and so my dad was kind of hanging out with my little brother and I. And, 18 years ago, something like that, my sister created a Delsing family video and sent it to my brother and I, and I looked at him like, well, hell, I'm not even in there, and neither was my little brother. You know, so it was like when you're that far down the line, you know, your parents aren't taking pictures anymore. They're just trying to keep all the, you know, all the frogs in the wheelbarrow. it was kind of funny and kind of odd, and that's just kind of the way we grew up. It was, you know, when I was when I graduated from high school, my parents gave me this little bitty piece of luggage, you know, and they're like, so that sucker up and get on, you know, get moving. So I got the picture.
Jay Delsing is with us on 101 ESPN. How much of the mental aspect of your golf success came from just observing your dad and his professional athletic career?
Yeah, Randy. I mean, a lot. I mean, when it's like anything, when you start thinking about things too much, it's just so counterproductive. And with golf and all the time, I mean, it can just eat you alive. And my dad used to tell me all the time, don't think you hurt the team, you know, and I'm always trying to remember that. And then, you know, you're thinking about not thinking and all this crazy stuff, you know, because there's so much time. But I can remember one time, you guys, I had missed like 10 cuts in a row my rookie year, and probably six or seven of them were by one stroke. And when you're doing that all the time, it's strictly mental. And I was playing up at Westchester, and I'll never forget, I was like five under par with one hole left. It was a pretty easy par five. And all I'm standing on the tee, and all I was trying to figure out was how I could get in without making a 10. You know, my mind was just racing, and things were just, you know, they can just get away from you. And I wound up getting in under a 10 and made the cut. But it's when your mind goes, man, it's hard to get it back.
Jay, is there a story about your father's career that maybe he told the most, or one that you find yourself telling the most when you look back at it?
You know, Brett, it's interesting because my dad was such a humble man. He didn't talk about his career, didn't talk about things at all, and I was always trying to pull stories from him. Dad, what was it like, you know, to be on the Yankees? What was it like to, you know, play 10 years in the bigs and stuff like that? And they were hard to come by. And he did. We wound up telling the Eddie Goodell, unfortunately for him, because he was a much better player than that. But the whole trivia question, you know, my dad was the pinch runner for Eddie Goodell. And that story winds up getting told time and time again. I still tell it probably two dozen times a year. But that was really, you know, Bill Veeck and the Browns, it really didn't have a whole hell of a lot to do with any sort of baseball stuff.
So we were talking just a moment ago about the Blues and what they mean to this city. And obviously this has been labeled a baseball town by pretty much everybody outside the market. And I think that's what most people around the country think we are. It's all about baseball. I think we've sort of shown with what the Blues have done this year. And we were just talking about Blues ratings and how good they've been during the final and people coming out downtown to watch them play. And then we had the PGA Championship last year. All of this stuff, should this not solidify to people around the country that this is a really great sports town?
Oh, hell yeah, Ranch. I mean, people don't know anything about St. Louis. They really don't. If they watch the national news, we're going to get on that more times than not for some really negative stuff, which I don't even turn on anymore. But for the people that really know, like the guys that were at the PGA Championship last year, I have never heard, even the broadcasters, Jim Nance and company with CBS, were talking, you know, extolling the virtues of the crowd. And you heard Tiger. Look, Tiger he is never going to say that if it's not true. He is never, ever going to pass out a compliment if it's not deserved. And so that's just in, you know, in my space, in the golf space. And you look at the Blues fans, look at what happened down in the city. Look at all the watch parties, the sports bars, the price of the tickets, you guys. They're going for well over what they're going for in Boston if you just want to try to, you know, grab a ticket on the internet. And it's just a tribute. I mean, we're starving. I talked to my brother who lives down in South Florida now, and I said, you know, he's like, I'm coming up. I go, well, you should. He's like, never in my lifetime did I think that we win the Stanley Cup. We just never thought we would.
And here we are with the chance tomorrow night. Jay Delsing with us. Golf with Jay Delsing. Sundays 8:30 to 9:30 here on 101 ESPN. Jay headed out to Pebble Beach for the U.S. Open. Who's playing well? Who do you like for this weekend?
Well, you know, a sentimental pick would be Phil Mickelson because it's his birthday every Father's Day weekend. And he's finished runner-up, you guys, in the U.S. Open seven times. It would finish off the career Grand Slam for him. But for some reason, he's also 48 years old. I sentimentally, I'd like him. If you want to go for another old player, I just have this weird feeling that Jim Furyk is going to play well. But Brooks Koepka, it's the kind of the usual suspect guys. Rory's playing great. What he finished, he closed 61 at Hamilton Golf Club up in Toronto to just run away with the Canadian Open on a golf course that they made look like it was really easy, and it's really not. Dustin Johnson's got a great history at Pebble Beach, plays well there, and you know, Tiger's in the mix, man. He's won what five times I think at Pebble Beach in his career. It's just going to be a great event. I'll tell you what to look for, though. If the wind doesn't blow significantly, and I'm talking about over 15 miles per hour, there are probably 50 people in the field that can win this championship. But if the wind blows hard, like I played in 1992, and I just wanted to wave a white flag out there because I had no idea how to try to get my ball around, you know, Pebble Beach under U.S. Open conditions when it was blowing like 40 miles an hour. There's only going to be a handful, maybe 10 players that can win. And I think that's the most significant weather-driven championship that we'll play.
It sounds like if there is that weather, Koepka that you mentioned, I mean, he can hit any shot. He's got a bit of an edge to him, doesn't he? He's not just supremely talented. He plays with a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, right, Brad. And, you know, it's interesting. He's got baseball lineage. You know, Dick Rhoda, I think, is his great-grandfather or something. And, you know, it's crazy, you guys. I can't figure this out because I follow golf and sports in general, but here's a guy that's won four of the last nine majors, and still nobody, barely anybody talks about him. I mean, it's the weirdest thing ever. The guy's number one player in the world right now. And, you know, I've never seen a stage get too big for him. You could say when he won the first U.S. Open at Erin Hills, you know, you could criticize the golf course, and it was a very atypical U.S. Open-style golf course for him to win the championship on. But then last year at Shinnecock, that's as old school as it gets, and it's hard and gritty, and you need to have a lot of, mental strength to get through there. And he just went in there and just took it by the throat and walked away with that. So he's impressive, and I don't know why nobody wants to talk about him. I think if he wins this week, they're going to have to talk about him.
He got mad at Fox for not putting him on their promos.
You know what? He also, Randy, it's interesting because what Brad said, he's looking now for that edge because he felt slighted, and I'd say that's deserved, but he's looking for that edge now. And, you know, he is in kind of a running feud with Brandel Chambly, who was on my show a couple weeks ago, and he was dissing Joe Buck because Joe screwed up got his wrong girlfriend's name out there, something mm-hmm. like that. So he's always looking for something to just kind of spur him on and give him that extra edge.
So why do you think that is, that he's not getting what he should get nationally in terms of the attention, or I don't know if he wants to call it respect, whatever he wants to call it. Why do you think he's not getting it?
I'm not really sure, Roger. It might have something to do, you know, with Tiger winning at Augusta again. But it was kind of going on before then because he'd won the Open. He's the first person since Curtis Strange won the Open back in 1988 and 1989 to win back-to-back Opens. He'll be the first guy since, I think, Willie Horton is the only person to win three U.S. Opens back-to-back. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know if it's his demeanor and that, you know, once he gets off the golf course, he's not really overly active in social media. He's not really, you know, he's maybe more reclusive. I'm not really sure. But, I mean, watching him at Belle Reve was just spectacular.
Jay, we will be tuned in Sunday morning. Have a great weekend in Pebble Beach, at Pebble Beach, and happy Father's Day to you.
Happy Father's Day to you guys. When are we going to go tee it up, boys?
We got to get out. This Stanley Cup run has kind of sapped our time. But once the Stanley Cup is over tomorrow and the Blues win it, we'll do it.
We can't use the weather as an excuse anymore unless it gets too hot.
Yeah, this is beautiful. It's never too hot for me.
There's no such thing.
Yeah, fantastic, guys. Great show. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Jay. That's Jay Delsing, 8:30 Sunday morning, golf with Jay Delsing here on 101 ESPN. And you can check out his website, jdelsinggolf.com. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final is about 24 hours away, and we're going behind enemy lines next to hear from Bruins coach Bruce Cassidy and Brad Marchand. That's next on 101 ESPN. Game 7 tomorrow night at TD Garden in Boston. And if you're headed to one of the watch parties, either at Enterprise Center or at Busch Stadium, we will be at The Note at 200 North 13th Street before the game. So you might want to stop by between 3 and 7 at The Note. Say hi to us. Enjoy their great food and drink and their great pregame party. And if you aren't going to either of the big watch parties, you can just watch the game at The Note.
Yeah, you can come hang out with us all day.
Be great.
Like I said, we're going to be there anyhow.
I feel like us being at The Note, it's got to be good luck.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be good mojo.
You'd think
so. That place is all right.
As you would expect heading into Game 7, there's going to be plenty of nerves. How does Bruce Cassidy and the Boston club handle them?
Well, I think you're going to have some. As I said, I think our older guys will address the group and how they can best handle that once the puck drops. We feel we're prepared to play. I think that's the easiest way to get through your nerves. If you know you're prepared and you haven't crammed, so to speak, we've gone through checklists of what we want to hit. Tomorrow it'll be sticking with our routine, so hopefully that calms your nerves, just knowing that you've prepared this way 100 and whatever it is, 7 times or 6 times, and that's enough to get you through it early on, and you got to play hockey.
BT, when you guys had a Game 7.
Yeah.
How did the veterans handle it?
Well, I do think that a lot of it was going about your normal business, like he's talking about. Mm-hmm. If you don't have nerves, you're dead. Like, you're dead inside.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't feel something, and that something can be different. But there was still a calm in the presence of those guys. Jimmy was unreal through that run in 2006. It was just a calming presence, whether it was just be watching him go about his business, or he knew when to pipe up, you know, and when to talk to everybody, say, hey, let's just go do this, do your thing. But Cassidy is correct in the fact that once you start playing, well, it's baseball again, right? And it's hockey again. You get back into it. So the veterans, to me, do provide a calming, just a calming factor. It's nice to be able to have that there. But once the game starts, you kind of know how to get back into
it.
And
I guess we're going to sort of find out tomorrow whether or not the same effect people seem to believe the Blues have or being at home has had on the Blues in this series will apply to the Bruins as well. I mean, on the surface, you would think probably not as much because it's a more experienced team. They have been to this before. They have gone through it. So they shouldn't be all up in their own heads because, oh, my gosh, we're at home. We need to do this in front of our own crowd, like a lot of people think happened to the Blues in Game 6. So, I mean, I guess we're going to find out tomorrow. The great thing about what happens tomorrow night is it's one game. So if everybody does play the best they can possibly play on this Blues team, they will win it. Because I do think, I don't want to say they're better than the Bruins, but I think if they, and I know it's a cliche, but if they play their game, I do think they win it.
Now, one of Boston's veterans from their championship in 2011, Patrice Bergeron, delivered a great speech to his teammates before Game 6, and Brad Marchand was asked if he thinks another one's on the way.
You don't force things like that. We had one in 2011 where Recky stepped up and said some words, but it's because something needed to be said in that time. You don't force it, you don't do it every single day. So we're not gonna look for any kind of a speech tomorrow. We all understand what's at stake and what we need to do. We're gonna prepare the same way we have all year, and that's what we are gonna rely on. We're gonna rely on a special speech or something like that to get us going. He may have felt like he wanted to share something with our group, and that's that, but we're going to rely on the process.
Media day.
Now, Marchand was part of the 2011 Bruins team that won it all and the 2013 team that lost in the final. How hard is it to forget about the loss?
You realize when you get to this point how hard it actually is. Especially the longer you've been around the league, you look at some guys that have been around for a long time and how few opportunities you get. It's extremely difficult to get to this point. You need everything to go your way. You need the calls, you need the bounces, you need guys to be healthy, and guys to step up at the right time all the way through the year. So it's extremely tough to get just to this point here, and to win is even harder than that. And once you lose, you realize how close it is. You get a taste, but you don't get that victory. You don't get to feel all the sensations of winning. And It's extremely difficult. So that sticks with you forever. When you're winning and losing, it sticks with you forever. And you know, you don't forget everything that happens when you win, and you definitely don't forget what happens when you lose.
Sure would love to give him that sensation again, that losing one, yeah, where you just taste it for a long, long time.
I think it'd be cool to have him get the sensation of not feeling his teeth.
Well, Randy, I mean, I don't care if he can chew after the game. I'd rather him lose. He can keep his teeth and lose and then do sad interviews. And if you can do both, look, that's I guess that's best of both worlds.
Now, here in St. Louis, over the course of the weekend, the Post-Dispatch inadvertently released a letter from Tom Stillman to Blues fans congratulating the Blues on their Stanley Cup victory. Also, a page from Enterprise congratulating the Blues on winning the Stanley Cup. Torrey Krug was asked if the Bruins are motivated by that. Well said.
Yeah, very well said. Speaking of that, how do you think that conversation went?
With, at the Post?
Yeah, with the Blues.
Oh, yeah, probably not great.
Probably a little.
Yeah, what's going on here?
For real?
Why the face?
You said it was cool. You said we were going to do this early.
Yeah.
That's fine. Anybody that's blaming the newspaper for losing a game is crazy.
It was just a sneak preview.
It happens. It happens. Can't wait to read that same thing over again when they win.
Was it a local mistake?
Yes.
Well, I mean, you know, you've got newspaper conglomerate, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this
like
was
part
all
of a
local.
Larger thing. So it was a local mistake made. Okay.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, that can't happen.
Yeah, but if they don't win tomorrow night, then who do you blame?
It can't happen.
You blame me for kissing the cup, or do you blame the Post-Dispatch?
Well, no, because, Randy, you kissed the cup for the first time. They went to the Stanley Cup final.
It's true. They haven't been to a Stanley Cup final since 1970. It took me kissing the cup to get them there.
Randy, that's if I were you, I just wouldn't have brought that up at all. I feel like a lot of people forgot. And then right now, somebody's in their car. Oh, that son of a... Yeah, he did. Oh, yeah, Randy, who knows everything, did that. I wouldn't have brought it up if I were you. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But Matt Damon tried to pick the thing up, too, so...
Yeah. And like Howie Barlow told us, thousands of people picked it up in Washington last year.
Yeah, it's fine. But that newspaper thing,
yeah, that's different. Next up in the fast lane, we're headed down the stretch with a little game of Would You Rather. Get your text in now to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Would You Rather next on 101 ESPN. Little game of Would You Rather as we head down the stretch. Thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line 65780. And with your Would You Rathers for us, here's Big Sis.
Well, we've talked a little bit about Doug Armstrong going off on some of the workers up in Boston. Would you rather have Army go off on you like that or have Berube go off on you like that?
Ooh, good question.
I think I'm going to go Army.
I think I'd rather have Berube go off on me.
You think so?
Yeah. Army's got quite a scowl.
He does. I just figure the further upstairs you are, the further you are from an actual physical confrontation. Mm-hmm. The closer to the ice, the more you might want to just throw them things.
Although, I don't know, man, because Armstrong went down to the official's door and started banging on it.
Yeah.
After the hand pass. Yeah.
So he was down at the glass today. He was yelling at the Zamboni driver.
I think Berube probably... Not that Armstrong is not composed, but maybe Berube slightly more so.
I would agree with that.
Let's just put it that way.
Would you rather work full time as a member of a mariachi band or as a gondola driver?
I want to be a part of a band.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I would go with that
music.
Too.
Yeah,
I like mariachi bands.
Mm-hmm.
Get pumped up. Maybe I got a margarita in me, and then all of a sudden the band comes around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a good old time. A gondola, like I feel like if you're a gondola driver, a
lot of responsibility.
There is, and
it's hard work.
It's hard work, and you're always going to feel like you're intruding on someone's time and their conversation. Like they're there,
right,
like hanging out, having a nice romantic gondola ride, and I'm here holding a paddle. Hey, y'all.
Although you
great
could,
point.
You know, you could say the same if you're having dinner at a fine Mexican place and a mariachi band just walks right up and starts. Oh, man. Do we watch it? What do we do?
Then you clap at the end, yeah.
Yeah, we clap.
And then I'm going to hang around awkwardly for money.
Do they do that? I don't think they ask for money, do they? They just kind of
move on. No, you're just hanging around awkwardly waiting for it.
You're supposed to tip?
Yeah, of course you're supposed to tip. It's entertainment.
Even if you didn't ask for it?
Yes.
So, like, what if somebody on the street just shows up and just starts doing magic in your face?
Oh, I'm paying that guy.
Are you?
Yeah, you're doing a magic show?
I don't know.
By the way, Fox has put Brooks Koepka into their U.S. Open promos now. Smart move.
All the way on the left.
I would have just not done it.
Out of spite?
Just feel like he just pushed you into it now.
Would you rather see the Blues win the Cup tomorrow night with Tuukka getting hurt pregame and not playing, or on an obvious missed call on the game winner?
Tuukka getting hurt.
A hand pass.
Beating Jaro Halak for the championship.
I'm going to say yes, because you're going to have the people that will say you only won because Rask was out. But you're not going to have people angry about it. And then nationally, I think the narrative and the rest of the country supports the team that got screwed by a call more than a team that lost a big player.
I think I agree with that. I think I'd rather go with the, look, yeah, it sucks, tough sled.
But that's what happens.
That's why you got a backup.
Yeah.
And would you rather wear a roller skate on your right foot every day for the rest of your life or walk behind someone who is walking slightly slower than you are?
Roller skate.
Yeah, I can roller skate.
Oh, no, I'll just walk behind somebody, I think, and then just slow my row a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I get frustrated.
Yeah, but
feel claustrophobic.
You're telling me you're not going to get frustrated with one skate on?
Oh, I'm going to add another skate.
Yeah, I'll figure it out.
You can't do that.
Either that or a real high platform.
Punts downhill and slanting left.
That's the direction I'm going. So that'll be fun.
And by the way, going back to the last question.
Yes, sir.
There's no way that anybody felt sorry for the Blues for losing Robert Thomas for as long as they did. And he was their best player in the last series.
Great point.
No one's going to feel bad for the Bruins if they lose a goaltender.
All right, one more quick one here. Would you rather have twice as many smaller teeth or half as many larger teeth?
I'm going half as many larger teeth.
It's going to look interesting.
They're all going to look interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I will go with I'll go with that, too, when I think about it.
A big smile.
Tons of small teeth. Yeah, kind of seems weird to me.
I agree.
Is the length normal? Or is it just the amount of teeth and the width?
I would say width, yeah.
Then I'm going to go with the bigger teeth. I'll look like Patrick Sharp.
There you go.
On TV.
Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
It's our producer, Brad Barnes. BT.
Army, what would you have done had they not fixed the ice today?
Wow, that's pretty serious. Ranj.
I don't know about you guys, but I am ready for Boston.
Mike Ryder is always doing a superb job as our board operator today. And tomorrow we are at The Note in downtown St. Louis. Hope you'll visit us there. For all of us, we thank you for tuning in, texting in, and being a part of the show. Till tomorrow at 3, good night, St. Louis.